invite Tony to come on up, and anybody else who wants to see something a little bit closer. I have a glass of water. You know what? I'm just going to scoop this over and set it right there. So today, I'm going to think about this water as being me or you. I'm going to think about it as us, our body, our soul, our spirit. Okay? And then I have food coloring. So I'm going to drop some food coloring in. Now this food coloring, I'm going to say, is representing God, God's spirit. And God is in us. Now I'm also going to say this spoon represents all the things we do when we practice our spirituality. So when we come to church, when we read the Bible, when we pray, all these things help integrate us into God and God into us. It looks like what? The ocean. Ooh, I like the ocean. So God is in us. We are in God. And now I want to ask you, can you separate the food coloring out? No. We can't separate ourselves from God. God is in us always. We are in God always. Now we think we might be able to. We might decide that we don't want to go to church anymore, or we might get mad at God, or we might stop praying for a while, but nothing we do can take us out of God's love. God's love is always in us. So to me, that's the major message for today. You'll hear that in the scripture. You'll hear that in the sermon. So when you hear it, think about this. You can go back to your seat. I'm going to leave this beautiful blue water up here for us to think on. In our passages today, we get to this. This line is my absolute favorite in all of Scripture. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. You can't be so naughty. You can't make so many mistakes. There's nothing you can say that will cause God to leave us. So last week we were reading in Romans 8, and we're going to read the rest of that chapter today. And we had read about how the whole creation groans. Everything suffers. And God's promise isn't to remove the suffering, but to go through it with us. Jesus came and went through suffering and then ended the power of death and destruction. But still suffering remains. So the Spirit, we talked about groaning as a form of prayer. You're going to hear parts of that still at the beginning of the passage today. Joyce is going to come on up and read this, and it's a two-sided page there, Joyce, just in case you didn't notice that. And you'll also hear Paul use some courtroom imagery. So listen for that. And now listen, you'll hear Romans 8, 26 through 39. It will also be on the screen in front of you.
In the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit helps plead our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks, because he pleads for the saints, consistent with God's will. We know that God works all things together for good, for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. We know this because God knew them in advance, and he decided in advance that they would be conformed to the image of his son. That way, his son would be the first of many brothers and sisters. Those who God decided in advance would be conformed to his son, he also called. Those whom he called, he also made righteous. Those whom he made righteous, he also glorified. So what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also freely give us all things with him? Okay. Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died. Even more, who was raised and who also is at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not power or height or depth or any other thing that is created. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You know, this is actually a hard passage to preach, as it turns out, not because it's a difficult message, but because it's such good news. It's hard for me to convey the level of enthusiasm that this needs. I'm not a pulpit pounding, jumping around kind of preacher, and honestly, I think this passage needs one. It needs some shouting. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. But before we get too agitated, I wonder if you can maybe, you don't have to close your eyes, but if it helps you visualize, you can. But picture yourself in a courtroom. Now, you are the defendant. You're the guilty one, obviously. We all are. Now, can you imagine piles of evidence of your lifelong weaknesses, your failures, your selfish acts, your mean words, whatever crimes y'all have committed? Imagine those reams of paper stacked up on that desk. There's video evidence. There's testimonies from your in-laws or whatever. Got that picture? But Paul throws in a plot twist. God, who so many of us have been led to think that is the judge who's waiting to condemn us, Paul says God is for us, as evidenced by him sending Jesus, who died and was raised. That's how much God loves us. And then he goes on to say, God is the one who acquits us, as in he decides we are not guilty. That's God's job. So it's not God who's going to prosecute us. Will it be Christ, he asks? And he says, no, Christ sits with God. In fact, Christ Jesus pleads our case. In this courtroom scene Paul has set up, there is no prosecutor. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The charges have been dropped. The prosecutor is MIA, and the only authorities in that courtroom are on your side. So if God is waiting to acquit you, to forgive you, Jesus is pleading your case, what have you to fear? Absolutely nothing. Then Paul spews a bunch of rhetorical questions. Who could separate us from Christ's love? Implied when we read his answers are all the powers of the world, all the powers beyond the world. What will separate us? Trouble? Distress? Danger? Famine? Nakedness? Harassment? Sword? Any answers? Nothing. Nothing. No thing. Zip, zilch, nada. No person. Not your mother or your child or your spouse or your boss. No being. No power. Not even those who could put us to death can separate us from this love of God. No one wielding force. In fact, it appears to not even matter who the they is that do this to us. Remember last week in the paragraphs prior, Paul let us know the whole creation suffers. And we talked about this suffering is part of life, and God doesn't remove it, but enters into it with us. But even suffering will not separate us from the love of God. Nothing. I don't know how many more ways to say that. The food dye is in the water. Try to separate it. You can't. We can't be separated from God's love. So why is it that so many people, maybe even those of us here today, have feared that separation or even felt that separation? Or maybe thought that they deserve to be separated? What causes that? I think self-esteem issues might be one. Guilt heaped upon us by other church experiences or other people in our lives might be another. Maybe it's theological misunderstandings about beliefs, or we haven't worked through to really understand the nature of God. Maybe you have a very specific shortcoming. There's somebody you just can't forgive. Or there's something that you did that you somehow think is unforgivable. Maybe you've had life habits that you think are sufficient to warrant a separation. Maybe you've had people, pastors or parents or others, tell you that was the case. They aren't, by the way. Now, maybe we've gotten out of the habit of following our spiritual disciplines. Okay, that might make us feel separated, because in every relationship, the strength is determined by both parties. We both have to put effort in. So we certainly can choose to pull away from God. But Paul is saying that nothing separates us from God's love. We can run away. Many of us have done that for a time or two. But regardless of how we feel that we've cut ties or put up a wall between us and God, we're still in God. God is still in us. And God's faithfulness and love remains steadfast. So I don't know what all of you wrestle with, and we'll actually talk about wrestling next week, so I hope you come back. But in the bulletin recently, I've been including questions or prompts for you to think about after church, connected to the day's message. You'll see it as question of the week. Today's prompt is asking you to think about your specific things, if you have any, that make you think or feel like you might be separated from God. And then reread Romans 8, 38 through 39. Read it as many times as you need. Apply that message to whatever that thing that you're thinking of or worrying about is. You might want to write this passage out, put it on your fridge. Put it in your bathroom cabinet or on the mirror so you see it. Make it a bookmark. Dog ear the page in your Bible and underline it. It's okay to write in your Bible. Come back to this. Now, I don't always agree with Paul, but on this, I think he nailed it. And when he says, "I'm convinced," the more precise translation is, "I am persuaded," which means he's pondered this. He's studied scripture. He's been with God. He's pondered the meaning of the cross and meditated upon this love that he came face to face with in Jesus Christ. And so he is sure of this truth. Even though, remember, he was on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. He was persecuting Christians when he started out. And he knows this truth now personally. Even that can't separate him from the love of God. You'll find that I used this line on our welcome poster in the room next door. So anyone who comes in for Pneumacare services or comes for Ukulele Club or comes for any other event we have, they will see that this is the foundation of my theology. This is the good news they will hear in this place. I don't get to preach on it every week, but this knowledge of the love of God as we see in Jesus our Christ is my salvation. I trust that nothing can separate me from God, even if I get everything I believe or say about God wrong. God's love is more powerful. I am still and always held and loved by God, and so are you. So may this be your good news too.